Hey,
from New
Drama. So Adam, get this. We got like 45 minutes.
Hey,
so Adam, get this. We got like 45 minutes to.
That's cool.
Yeah. Do this, man. Get on it.
All right, Adam, what you got?
Well.
All right.
Ask Master.
All right, so. J. Chris shows up all late, and he's like,
you know,
"Let's get going."
I happen to know J. a lot of work left to do, so.
All right. I don't know how much of this this early on stuff has actually made it into the podcast, but anyway, this is Adam of the Dollar Bin. I'm here in a conference call of confusion with a bunch of guys who are going to be attending San Diego Comic-Con. Also on the line is Sean of Heroes Aren't Hard to Find and of the Dollar Bin. The first person to join was our friend, Dollar Bin's friend, Andy Runton. Andy, you want to say hi so everybody can try to recognize your voice?
Hi, everybody. How are you doing? This is Andy.
And next in was Rob Allman.
Hey, folks. This is my voice.
And then I think J. Chris showed up.
Hey, hey, hey.
And that would be J. Chris.
You're going to talk like that the whole
time. I talk like Fat Albert the whole time. That don't sound like
the irony here being you probably have like the most distinctive voice of the world.
Heavy
now you're talking like Red Fox. Anyway.
And then last but due to J. Chris Campbell's blunder is Robert Vendetti.
Yep, how's it going, guys?
And he is still there.
A little more enthusiasm there, Rob. Let's try that again.
I can't even believe I'm in on this phone call right now. I've got such better things I could be doing.
Oh. Let's see.
Now for the laughing.
How many of you guys have been to San Diego Comic-Con before?
I think that would be me, and that would be Andy and Rob Venditti.
Yeah, we've been like, I don't know, this is going to be our fifth year, Andy?
Fifth year? I don't know. I think you've been one more time than me because right. I called you, and I was like, are the Owly minis on the table? And you were like, I don't know.
So. Yeah, I think that was the year I threw them in the garbage.
Yeah.
I think this is my fifth year, maybe.
Yeah,
I can't remember. And Chris and Rob are popping their cherry, though. It's their first
time.
What do you,
at this moment, San Diego Comic-Con virgins. I've been saying I was going to go every year for about, you know, probably 15 years now, but I finally got my act together. I don't know if it's, you know, due to the recession or what. Enough people have decided not to get tables, so they finally made room for me.
You actually be really close to us, to the Top Shelf booth. The Swell Press isn't that far away. So.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah, I was sort of looking at the map, trying to get a sense of where everything was, and it's humongous. It's just so freaking big. It's going to be crazy.
I honestly think a lot of people come by Top Shelf just because it's not as loud as the other ones.
Yeah, you can always come to the Top Shelf table and count on there not being any customers. So they come there to just hang out and rest.
What kind of turnout do you guys get at Top Shelf booth compared to
it's
other cons?
It's pretty good. It's one of those things where the room is so packed and there's so many people there that I think everybody gets good traffic, you know, just because there's so many people. But I mean, it's a great show. You know, there's people that come by, and the thing about Comic-Con is everybody comes there to spend money. You know, they got their budget of what they're bringing, and they're not leaving until they spend it all. You know, and so it's a really good show, really fun atmosphere. There's always a lot of business going on. Andy is always crazy crowded. He's always got lines, you know, the whole time that he's there, and little kids come dressed up in Owly costumes that they made themselves.
No way.
And, yeah, all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah. And, dude, Andy, tell me about Grant Morrison.
Oh, yeah, Grant Morrison. I mean, that's the other thing is that some people, I mean, it's just that you get a lot of celebrities there, too. You know, like we've seen, not just celebrities, but, like, big-time comic stars, you know. But I saw this guy who looked like Lex Luthor, you know, and I was like, I've seen that guy in Wizard, I swear. And he was standing in line with his girlfriend, and he was like, Andy, I've got to tell you, I just love Owly. I just love it. And I, you know, it was just like, wow, that's, it's so pure. It's so pure.
Yeah, we were all so stunned. Like, Grant Morrison is an Alley fan.
Did you realize who it was? I mean, did it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you know, I had read Wizard enough to know who Grant Morrison was, you know, so.
Right.
It's one of those things. But at the same time, it's really cool. I mean, like, I run, you know, run cards for other people, and, like, I was, you know, we all trade off and do all kinds of different jobs and stuff, and I was running cards, and it was, I picked up this guy's card, and it was Craig McCracken of the Powerpuff Girls, you know.
So he was just there hanging out and went to the Top Shelf booth and dropped some money.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Matt Groening came by,
like,
one year.
Wow.
Who else? Patton Oswalt and that other guy. Who's the tall guy that's his buddy?
Oh, yeah, Brian Pussain.
Brian Pussain?
Yeah, they come by every year.
And the Reno 911 guys are there always. You know,
that's crazy. I was so excited over Scott Adsit at Heroes that I just can't even imagine what I'm going to do when I see.
Well, the thing is that Jack Black walked by one time, but you really, you know, if they stop, a mob forms around them, so they can't really stay in one place.
Yeah, he was pretty packed. I saw Dennis Miller last year, but there was nobody really with him too much. I think he was in on the floor before the show was actually open. And Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, was there last year. He was shooting film, and he had a crowd around him.
It's just a big place. I mean, and the thing, like Rob said, you get so many people there that are there to see other things. I mean, you would think, oh, well, I'm not going to be a big draw. Well, even if you get like 1% of the people that are there, that's still more than come to just about any other convention.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's the thing to kind of keep in mind. I mean, just when you think of the sheer numbers of, you know, 125,000 people or whatever it is that come through the door, you know, it's just kind of staggering. It's ridiculous.
One of the funniest things that happened was I was in a big bunch of people or something like that, and I bumped this guy in front of me, and I was like, "Oh, sorry, dude." And he looked at me and went, "Dude, it's Comic-Con." You know, it was like like it was Chinatown or something. It was just really funny.
You have to excuse yourself. You could have practically raped me, and I would have been okay. It's Comic-Con.
Everything goes, dude.
Do you,
I wonder if I could get my ticket refunded.
Actually, you could probably fly out there and scalp it outside the convention center and fly home and make more money than you're going to make in there selling books. I just mean anybody would. I mean, they've been pulled out for like months now, you know.
I don't think people actually go without a ticket, you know, but I could be wrong. I don't know if anybody would actually.
I'm sure that goes on.
Yeah.
They're out front. Well, yeah. I mean, how many, you know, how many of those little extra staff passes do you get per table? Sell a couple of those out front.
You can try. I guess the thing is that they just kind of frown upon that, but I guess you'd have to see what happens, you know?
There's only one way to find out. Actually go through something like that.
There is only one way to find out.
I mean,
out.
Really, Comic-Con's, what, 4 days? Do you really have to go all 4 days? Couldn't you sell your pass for, like, one of those days, maybe?
Yeah.
You should fly out there, Adam, and wire yourself and do, like, a dollar bin expose and see if you can throw in the slammer for scalping Comic-Con badges.
Yeah, maybe there's, it's so big, maybe there's a special Comic-Con jail like they have at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia for evening. Maybe there's like a special place where they keep you, and you're judged like a Klingon court or something like that. They meet out their own special justice, Comic-Con justice.
Oh, I would pay to sit in on that stuff.
The thing is that we stay on the floor all the time. I mean, it's like, imagine, I mean, there's a huge area that is where we are all day, and we don't leave the table all day. I mean, to be honest, it's hard to go even to the bathroom. I mean, there's just no break. And but there's an entire other world up above, a whole other level that has all the signings, all the costumes. I mean, we don't see hardly any costumes, but I know they exist because I've seen pictures of them after, you know, so... It'll be interesting to see, you know. I mean, you can't really take the whole thing in. You just kind of survive it. That's the best way to do it. I survived it.
I'm really looking forward to it, the way you guys talk about it.
You can't go
to the bathroom and, you know.
Oh, well, not you.
You guys have a booth, and that means you get to be on the floor before the show's even open. You know?
Right.
And that's gone there. It's just a, you know, there's nobody there. You just walk around, do whatever you want, you know.
Wait, I gotta ask though, Rob. Please tell me you don't have to get another My Little Pony this year or something. You
know? Dude, I got orders for like 4 My Little Ponies. And
oh my god,
dude. Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do, man.
Did you talk to Ullman about standing in the Mattel line?
I don't know if he needs to be anything. A Hasbro is what I need.
A Hasbro.
Yeah.
I got to stand in a Hasbro line, too, so maybe...
You got to stand in the Hasbro line?
Oh, yeah. I got a friend who wants the Hal Jordan Green Lantern 3-pack. So,
didn't you play, like, lacrosse in college or hockey or something like that?
I went to college.
Bring your pads if you did, because it's like Thunderdome, dude.
Is it really that crazy to get the Comic-Con exclusives?
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I was there last year, and I was trying to get the My Little Pony for the neighborhood kids. You know what I mean?
It
wasn't for your collection.
No, I got a girl next door named eBay, and I was trying to get her a toy.
You were trying to get it personalized, too.
Yeah. So I'm standing there, and, like, you know, waiting on Wednesday night before the show opens. And, I mean, they opened the doors, and it was like, boom, like a big rush there. And, I mean, it was pushing and shoving and people cursing at each other and stuff. And I'm just like, we're here for the toys, you know. And first of all, how many of these people, like, everybody who's got a picture of their kid in their wallet, pull it out. You know what I mean? Like, there probably would have been, like, 3 guys that actually had copulated and had children, you know. And it's like, I'm actually trying to buy this for my child, you know. Like a nightmare. So
well, I mean, in all fairness, if I was, you know, if I actually do brave that BS and try to buy something, it'll be for a 215-pound 33-year-old man. So
to be honest, though, I mean, I've had there's a fan of mine that wanted me to buy stuff for last couple of years. I'm not doing it this year, thank goodness. But I would go up on the last day. He'd just want the exclusive, like, DC figure or whatever, and I could go up and get the Solomon Grundy I got last year. I mean, I just walked right up. You know,
yeah,
so
I did
some
that
things,
in Chicago. I just went right up and bought one. It was like,
two.
Yeah.
It's just the Hasbro line is so tough because it's got, like, the Transformers exclusive and all that, but it's all one line. Like, I'm sure if they split it off and you had, like, the Transformers line and the My Little Pony line, the My Little Pony line would have been, like, me and 2 other people. You know what I mean?
You know what it's going to be this year, too? It's going to be exclusive G.I. Joe movie figures, so it's going to be, like,
nuts. Yeah, it's going to be nuts. And I don't even know that it's entirely the crowd's fault. I mean, the way they got it set up isn't all that, you know, it's just crazy, you know? And then you see the same toys that you're trying to get for your kid. You'll see them already on the floor marked up like 200% because some dealer got them and is trying to reach
them. I saw that My Little Pony slabbed as soon as I, on the third
they
day.
They slabbed the My Little Pony. What's this world coming to?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Do the exclusives go quick, or do they have them pretty much all weekend?
Well, no.
They only put them out at certain times, right?
No. All the toys are available all the time. And the My Little Ponies are usually there all the way through the weekend. But it's just you got to wait in the big, huge line to get to it.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't spend that much time away from the booth. I'm there working for my job or whatever, you know? I mean, you actually have to wait in line. At least this is how they do it. I think this is how they do it. You wait in line to get a ticket. And that ticket allows you to wait in line to actually get the toy. So it's like 2 lines that you have to be in. And
like
the ticket
buying
that you get has like a time of when you're allowed to show up to get into your time slot of line to get the thing.
Yeah, they actually do that in for some artists, too, for signatures.
Yeah, I've heard stories like about, like, that's how Stan Lee is when he's out there. You have to wait in line for the ticket, and then you come back and wait in line again.
What's there was somebody I knew in Baltimore who stood in line for Tim Sale. For a signature or art piece or something like that, and they sold him a ticket for a time that Tim Sale wasn't going to be there, and then they wouldn't honor it. It was real.
Wow.
Ugly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can get ugly. I mean, that's the thing. That's the other thing. It just can get ugly. You just got to keep it cool and everything.
So what's the coolest thing about it? What's the fun part, then?
The funnest part is just the people that, I mean, since we're never on the West Coast, I don't ever see, I mean, like, I mean, to be honest, we all go up and down the East Coast all the time. And so, you know, you see the same people at SPX, Baltimore, Heroes, and, you know, Mocha, New York Comic Con. Those are all kind of the same kind of crowd, you know, even Chicago. But then on the West Coast, you get all these kids and other people that have never, this is the only place you're going to see them. So that's the coolest thing, is it's a whole new crowd. you know, and a whole new fan base, and that's what I love about it. It's people I never see all year except for right then. And
actually,
just the energy.
Yeah, everything about it is really cool. You know, we're trying to make it sound like it's not, but it is a really fun time. I mean, it's a lot of work, but there's so much stuff to see and so much stuff to do, and San Diego is such a cool place to be. You guys are going to have a lot of fun. I mean, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah,
you guys seem to have, like, new things coming out for San Diego. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. You want to have something new when you get there, you know. Try to get people to, you know, I mean, there's so many people there, you know. The impulse buy is so high that if you can have some new stuff.
That does seem like something that I've always kind of gleaned from talking to people about it. It's definitely a crowd that is there to spend cash. They're not.
Oh, yeah, they are there to buy. I mean, and that's the other thing is that they're not like, oh, I'll look around and come back. They've only allotted a certain amount of time to be looking at your booth.
Right.
So when they're there, they're
not,
buying.
You know, like, they're not going to be like swinging by like six times on Sunday.
No. The craziest night actually is preview night, which is when it's open.
What's that like? That all about?
Oh, that is crazy because they only have it's like what is it like 4 to 9 or something like that, Rob?
I think it's like 6 to 9. That was the night I almost got trampled in the My Little Pony line.
Oh my God! I want to see Bruce Willis star in the movie from this book by you. I want to.
Yeah, what about the surrogates figure?
The best guy, Jay Chris, tell him about the wallet dude in MegaCon. This is the best thing I ever saw in my whole life. I mean, because it's happened to all of us at some point. You know, we've all been this way.
I was packing up my booth, and there was this guy behind me, and I just hear him go, Oh, God, my wallet. My wallet! And he just starts taking off running, going, Oh God, my wallet! And just, like, looking everywhere for his wallet, and it was so horrible, and I'd laugh my ass off.
And then didn't he come by, running by later? Like, he came running down the end of the aisle, later you saw him run by in the background, kind of?
Well, you could hear him running off in the distance, screaming and looking around for his wallet, and I don't know if he just had no clue where his wallet was because I heard him come up the next aisle next to me going, you know, like, oh, God, my wallet.
Your wallet. Oh, God.
My wallet. Oh, God. But I actually got to see, like, just him break down, like, the realization moment that his wallet was missing, which is just sad and horrible, but it was funny. And then him searching his pockets frantically and just... He couldn't contain himself. He was just like overcome with just error that his wallet was gone.
I was in Heroes, and I thought I lost my wallet. And I did the same exact thing. I internalized it. Like, I didn't go public with it, but inside, I was that guy.
That was the thing. He just was like, did not care. He was like, oh, God, my wallet is he didn't cuss or anything, but, I mean, he was screaming and running down the aisles.
Well, plus, he's at the comic book show, too, though. So, you know, without his wallet, how's he going to buy his My Little Pony figure?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Chris, Sean had mentioned you guys all having new stuff come out. What is it that that Wide Awake's bringing to old San Diego Comic-Con?
Well, thanks to Mr. Rob Ullman, who hooked up the whole Wide Awake Press is at Comic-Con thing. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff. We're going to have a Michael Jackson tribute book.
Who's that?
Which we threw together.
Whose idea was that?
That was mine.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, everyone's going to be capitalizing on this. And the thing
Why
is,
not me?
The
Why
majority not? Of them are going to suck so bad. And I was like, I could at least cobble together some cool stuff because I kept seeing people, like, posting, you know, tribute illustrations. So I just started emailing people and say, hey, can I collect this and print it? So it's got mostly pinups, but I've got a bunch of stories in it, too, that are pretty cool.
Got a Brad McGinty strip that is, as usual.
Yeah.
Man.
You can go to Brad McGinty's website and read it. It's hilarious.
I'll tell you, it was hilarious, but Brad's was a lot more, it was like heartfelt.
It was, totally. It's a good story, and all of them are kind of like, I mean, are that way. I didn't really get anybody who, you know, hated him. I mean, of course, it was when everybody did all this. It was still, I mean, like a week after.
Yeah.
The deadline was so short, and everything on everybody, and they came through. It was awesome. So I'll have that, and it's a pretty cool book. And then
I haven't known that I was Andy Rutten was not asked to be in this book. So I own a Michael Jackson doll.
Oh. Well, you know, Andy Rutten was working on a
webpage. Oh, you can't talk about that.
Shh. Oh, boy. That's
how oh, boy. I wrote. Oh, boy.
Am I going to have to cut that?
Oh, my golly.
My wallet. My wallet. Oh, God.
Can't talk about that for 5 days.
Okay.
For 5 days.
Well, anyway, so, yeah, we'll get that, and then I'll have some more copies of Ancient there, which will probably
awesome.
Be the last of those, except for what contributors get. And then Mr. Ullman has his awesome stuff coming out.
I do. I have, well, we'll also have, not to, you know, whatever the opposite of stealing someone's thunder is, we have some cool little note cards, too, that me and Jay Chris put together. I did a set, and he did a set, and, you know, they're just like a goofy little thing, but they got some pretty awesome Jay Chris paintings on them, so.
Sweet.
Definitely worth checking out. But, yeah, and I have my new Adam Bombacchini hardcover book from Brand Studio Press, which, I mean, if there was ever a main reason to go to San Diego, it's so I can get some of these damn things out of my living room. Oh my God, there's a lot of them.
So,
oh, I tell you what, if you bring in any shirts, either of you, the San Diego crowd is, you know, like the normal comic book crowd.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to run large.
Run a little. Run
the
a little
San Diego under. Crowd, not so much.
Really?
Oh, gosh.
The California, if you have any extra smalls or anything else that's been laying around collecting dust.
I might be able to blow out those mediums, huh?
Now is the time. Yeah, absolutely. Smalls and the, you know, and the mediums and the, those go first.
Interesting.
Well, your shirts do that, well there?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The thing is that people are actually more attracted when they're walking by to, like, the little paraphernalia stuff and things like that, you know?
Yeah, there's so many cool T-shirts there, you know? I mean, just all kinds of, just everything. People with handmade toys, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I think on the aisle that you guys are on, or it depends, I mean, but on the in that small press stuff, I mean, it's like SPX, you know? So, I mean, you're there with, you know, and right next to you is Buenaventura and, you know,
right.
all those other people.
Right.
So, I mean, it's... You know, that's why they come to that section. They love it. So they'll be ready to buy.
I'm not going to take my leftover. I've got just a few of the shirts I did for HeroesCon.
Our table is roughly the size of two postage stamps stuck together.
Right.
Like it, you know? Right. I mean, it's...
I'm
going to
try and practice some of that vertical marketing we
yeah.
see so much of.
You mean stacks of stuff?
Stacks of stuff.
Stack it up.
Yeah. It's always a good idea anyway.
I did do a special fat pack that I said I would never do again. I did a special Left Coast fat pack.
Left Coast.
Yeah. And it's a bigger one than the other ones. So it's a, like a...
Bigger?
Extra fat pack.
Is it P-H-A-T? Is it P-H-A-T?
I did not change the verbiage at all, actually.
You know, thought you might want to gangster it up, you know?
Yeah, I should have done that, shouldn't I?
Is the left coast.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And,
anyway, that's the goodness
and
from
then,
Wide Awake Press, I guess.
Then,
yeah, it's going to be all kinds of new stuff at that place. And there'll also be, I have my newish Traffic and Weather collection. I mean, I had it at Heroes, but that was only the first show it ever made it to. It's a collection of my RichmondMagazine.com strips. So, you know, who knows? Maybe some people will be interested in that little tidbit.
Never.
And then,
so what else is going on? So does anybody have any, like, big holiday Hollywood movies coming out? Or maybe, like...
Yeah, Hollywood debuts or anything like that?
Or animated flicks or anything?
Yeah, could Andy Run want to be any more like me? I mean, it's just disgusting, you know? I finally get some success in my life, and he has to go and get his own movie, you know?
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's not a movie. It's a minute and a half. there won't be a DVD, much to the chagrin of many people commenting and stuff like that.
You're doing a DVD that
people can buy?
No, I'm just saying that it's like a minute and a half. It's just going to be like a little cute little thing. It's a little trailer. It's a proof of concept kind of thing. And,
is it something that people can buy?
People commenting that they're going to buy the DVD and stuff.
They can't buy it, right, Andy? It's just for display.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be online.
Dude, a minute and a half DVD would be hilarious.
I think I would love that.
It's actually a really cool cartoon. The people that did it did an amazing job on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was Sprite, the canned drink company.
That would be...
Sprite?
What is
this?
What was that other guy they had? That little... Remember that little... that basketball star, and he was... Didn't he drink Sprite? And
it was Lil Penny?
Yeah, Lil Penny.
Yeah.
Tara, you left your toothbrush in my room or something like that.
What?
You remember this?
I don't remember, no clue what you're talking
about. Anyway. Yeah, but anyways, they dumped Lil Penny and they're going with Allie.
They've got
Daniel Jones as the dollar bin scooped everybody on that one. Daniel Jones via Twitter, the dollar bin has reported that Daniel Jones will be voicing Allie, and I can't confirm it, but I can't deny it either.
So. I have the inside scoop.
You got a whole bunch of stuff, don't you?
The new Surrogates book, it will be there. The Surrogates Flesh and Bone, which is like a prequel to the first one. And then we have a hardcover that collects book one and book two, and we designed it to look like an owner's manual. If the first 1,000 copies of that sell come with like a limited edition warranty card that's signed by Brett Woolley and myself, and it's like warranty language for when you bought your surrogate and that kind of stuff.
Is Brett going to be there?
Yeah, Brett will be there. He gets there, I think he's coming in on Thursday, and he'll be there all weekend. So.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I was watching the warranty card.
That's all right. I was just going to say. Whose idea was that, Rob?
The owner's manual? I can't remember. I think it was my own genius, I'm pretty sure. We were flying home from San Diego last year. Don't you remember? And I sketched out a whole, like, way.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
That's right.
Do you remember that? Yeah. It's like the only time I've ever drawn in my entire life. It was like inspiration. It was crazy.
I feel some sarcasm in both of you.
Yeah, no, Andy is the one that came up with the original concept and, like, drew it all out. And, then we had a designer.
If you can imagine, it was like Spinal Tap, you know, like when Nigel draws the Stonehenge Monument, that was drawn out. This thing, it was like on a napkin. It was like, this is all you need. We need this. He took it and he had it made. Hopefully it's going to be as big as I specified. I don't know. You know, we'll see.
What is the Flesh and Bone? I never asked you, like, the, like, premise of that, or, like, what's the pitch on that, I guess?
It's set 15 years before the first book, and basically it revolves around a crime where a couple of teenagers sort of go joyriding in their father's surrogates, and when they go out, they beat a homeless man to death, and there's like a whole trial about it and an investigation. There's one, they claim that that they're not guilty because they're really rich kids and their parents have surrogates and everybody that they know has a surrogate, so they didn't know that he was real. But there's somebody who can prove that they did know he was real, and the whole book sort of revolves around trying to find that witness and get his testimony.
See, there are so many stories that can be told with that. I mean, I was just thinking about this today. I was rereading it the other day, and I don't know. I mean, there's just so much you could do with that whole universe, I guess, your whole universe that you created with that. There's just so many ideas. It would seem like a pretty endless well of stories that you could tell.
Yeah, God willing, I get to do them all. I'm kind of like Andy Rund. I'm a one-trick pony, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know. Book two, you got the prequel. You know, it's, I don't know, everything's coming up Venditti as near as I can
see. Yeah. I actually just found out that my Iron Man story is going to be out in October.
I love that. That's a great phrase.
Was that
coming up in Diddy? I don't know if it's good or bad.
Your Iron Man story's coming out in October.
I think that's what they told me. Yeah.
And what's that?
I didn't know that. Go ahead.
No, I did a fill-in issue of Iron Man, and I did it a while ago, but I think it's going to be out in October. They said.
Sweet.
That's cool. Wow.
No, it's just like a regular Iron Man story that it's just a fill-in issue. It's like a one-issue story that I guess they're going to be between arcs or something.
So it's not
perfectly timed.
So it's not continuity deep, though?
No, I mean, I don't know anything about any of those. You know, I didn't grow up reading comics, so I don't know anything about continuity or any of those kinds of things. So when I do a story, like when I do something for Marvel, I try to use like as few, you know, toys from their sandbox as possible, so I don't worry about, you know, I don't have to worry about continuity and if this character's off doing something else or whatever. So it's just got Iron Man and Maria Hill, and that's it. Everything else is stuff that I made up.
Yeah, that's probably the smart way to go about it, actually.
Yeah.
And I bet you it's awesome.
I'll take that bet.
What are the odds on that bet? I got some inside information on this.
There you go.
I guess back to a little bit to Comic-Con, Rob and Chris, the two Comic-Con virgins, what are you guys expecting?
Well, I don't, you know, I really don't know. I mean, I have all these kind of like, you know, I mean, I've been thinking about very little else for 3 weeks, I'll be honest with you. So I have all these like sort of, expectations or whatever. I don't know, you know, that it's just going to be ridiculously huge. If I'm feeling pessimistic, it's that I'm, you know, going to be like a grain of sand in an ocean of talent, and nobody will even stop in front of our table. But I think other times, like last week when I was shipping books out, I sent 175. You know, so I think the truth probably lies somewhere in between there of what it's actually going to be like. But I think it's going to be. I mean, I've been to a Comic-Con or two in my life. I'm not going to lie to you, but. You know, I think that this is just going to be a whole other animal, just completely ridiculously large, so much stuff going on. I hope I get to experience a little bit of it, you know, and leave and, you know.
Yeah, I expect that Rob will be very mad because I will never be at the table. That's my expectation.
Make sure that you put limits on your spending.
Where is that guy? I'm gonna fit him with a bell, hang around his neck, and
you can hear him run it all.
GPS things they give to kids, you know.
I'm gonna low jack Day Chris Camp. I can keep tabs on him at all times.
I think his wife would appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, Adam, but we're actually all staying in the same room when we go out there this year.
I've heard
we're all
that.
Staying at the Embassy Suite, which is like a double room. So the thing I'm looking most forward to is seeing Rob Ullman come out of the shower. I mean, to be honest. He's a handsome dude. I want to know what's doing under those T-shirts he wears.
He goes in with all his clothes. It comes out fully clothed. You're not going to see it.
I told Jake Chris
has already been disappointed.
Yeah, I've been disappointed many, many a night. At least I don't sleep in a belt. Yeah, well, yeah. I will tell you this, that Rob is a creeper, or sleeper. He rolls like he's going to wake up some demon or something, and you don't even know he's over there. So someone must have trained you pretty well not to wake them up, or you would be severely punished or something.
Yeah, she's in the next room right here, as a matter of fact. The reason why I... well, no, you know, it's like, you know, if you make too much noise, you hear about it the next day. So
I've gone to bed with him asleep, and he rolled over, and it scared the crap out of me because it took him like 10 minutes to roll over. He's like hovering. I swear he spins in the air above the mattress somehow, like without touching a thing. But it takes like 5 minutes.
It's all about slow and quiet.
Did you go to space camp or something? Did you learn how to move around like the astronauts do? Is that what happened?
Him and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh my God.
Are you
what? This is officially off the rails.
Are you going running in the mornings, Rob? Almond?
Yes, I am.
You are.
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact.
Do you have a plan for that?
Yeah, I did. Well, I mean, I don't have a specific plan, but I want to do that. I mean, have you seen the weather out there? Listen to this. The other day, I'm looking at the weather report for, I think it's the first day that we're there, or maybe the Thursday that we're there. The weather report actually says abundant sunshine, high of 72. I mean, can you beat that? That's like Eden Con.
No, it's really great. It does get a little chilly, though, at night and in the morning.
Oh, well, that
it can
sounds
be really,
terrible.
It can be cold. It can be
cold. It's not going to be as cold as Virginia ever gets. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just what I mean. I'm looking at it. It's like low of 68, high of 72, sunny. It just seems like, you know,
abundant.
No wonder people are.
I don't know, one time we were eating breakfast, and I was freezing.
There's actually a place right across from our hotel called Seaport Village. It's just on the other side of the street. And isn't there a runner's path in there, Andy, that goes up and down on the docks?
I think there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, and with a two-year-old here at home, I have a daughter who's two. It's very hard, actually very hard to get out and, you know, run a couple miles in the morning or any other time. So, yeah, I'm gonna take advantage of that. I'll be out there.
Yeah, you'll have a great time.
Every couple days. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. It's like it's going to be a good working vacation.
Yeah, I've got to get over the fear of flying first because I've never flown. So I'm still battling that right now.
Once we get him there, he'll be much better, I think.
So. You have to read that issue of Allie where Allie learns to fly, Chris.
There you go.
That'll help, I'm sure.
If he doesn't, he glides.
But that's what your plane could do if it runs out of gas.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks.
Plane will not run out of gas, damn it.
Damn it. Die.
Okay, I mean, did I say something wrong?
I'm going to be running up and down the plane aisle going, oh, my God, my wallet. My wallet.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know if anybody knows. Can you bring whiskey or other alcoholic drinks onto the plane with you, like the little bottles?
You have to check them.
If you buy it after you go through security.
There's liquor stores on the inside, like duty free and all that. So
I don't know. I've rarely seen.
You can't bring 3 ounces. Or more, right? But, right. Well, yeah, I guess if you buy it after you...
Maybe.
Yeah, after you pass through the baggage thing, then there'll be liquor stores there, and then you can buy...
I think they sell, like, Jägermeister and stuff like that on the plane, you know?
Just get
yeah, but it's really expensive.
For, like, $10.
Oh, yeah, it is. There was a lady next to me that ordered a orange juice and a Sky vodka, and it was $12, and she had this bottle that looked like a eyedropper. She polished it off, though.
Just like squinted that whole thing now.
You know, they just I don't know. They get you one way or the other.
That's how they get you.
Do you guys that have been there have any pointers for those who are either attending or exhibitioning there?
Let's see. I would say to be sure to bring lots of hand sanitizer and things like that, just because, I mean, it's just one of those things where you're there a long time, and it's really hard on you, you know, so people, you know, tend to not drink a lot of fluids, and, you know, like, you know, say you're at Heroes, like Adam, for instance, when you were at Heroes, by Sunday, you were done, right?
Oh, yeah,
you were done.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, so imagine it goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it's just a long time. And that's the thing, is that most of the time, people just, they're at the show all day, they just, they go back home and sleep and do it again, all again, you know, but it's all good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would just take care of yourself, that's what I would pick.
Take showers.
Take your vitamins.
Take showers, eat before you get to the show, because once you're at the show, the food is limited.
Yeah. It's really hard to come by food in there, and if you leave, you're going to be gone for like 3 hours because the lines are so big at every restaurant. So you basically get there at 9 in the morning, and you don't eat again until 8 o'clock at night.
Right. So eat a big breakfast. You know, eat before you go. Don't think, oh, I'll get something. You won't. You know, you just.
Is there a grocery store nearby the hotel?
There is. There's
a Ralph's. Yeah. There's actually a mall right across the street that has a food court in it. I mean, there's a million restaurants. There's everything.
I tell you what I did. This is embarrassing. But I read Tom Spurgeon's San Diego diary. You know, his 100 things to do. Very.
Oh yeah. What did it say?
Very immersive. Well, it mentioned something about Ralph, so I got one of those little discount cards. Had it mailed to my house. So I'll be prepared. How nerdy is that? Isn't that just so lame? Oh my god. I just figured that all like 8 of your listeners.
Pretty of Rob Ullman right there at work.
See?
Are you ever a Boy Scout or anything like that?
Well, not a very good one. I was one who did just barely enough to lie and get the badge. There you go.
What do you guys do in the evenings out there in San Diego?
Well, there's usually like little parties here and there, like little get-together things. Or a lot of the times, though, you really just use it to talk about the day. You know, so you're hanging out with friends or. Say, like Rob will end up probably going to dinner with movie stars and bars and hanging out in bars.
Yeah, I'm actually not allowed to talk about the things that I'll be doing. So.
Right. He'll come back and he'll be like, dude, check this out. And he'll have Nathan Fillion wrapped around his leg. You know?
Usually you just go to the convention, you leave, you eat dinner, and by that time it's like 10 or 11 and you're pretty beat, you know?
Yeah. Well, because it's 2 a.m. to you. I mean,
I'm actually on normal time when I'm out there, so it's actually works out.
Oh, really?
I have a tendency.
They change time in San Diego just for you, don't they? They actually change the time. Do it.
But it's fun. You know, I mean, it's just you kind of live there for a few days, and that we eat a lot at that Seaport Village and stuff like that. There's a little Greek place there that's good, and, you know, there's some, you just got to stay kind of close by and don't try to do too crazy of things. And also the other thing is that if you're not afraid to spend a little bit more money, you'll be able to eat when other people are in the big long line for the real cheap place.
Oh yeah.
You have to spend a little bit more money to be able to eat and just go back and, you know, but, it's fun. It's fun. I don't know if we're going to go to the Eisners this year. Are we, Rob? I don't know. Are we going to the Eisners?
I haven't decided yet.
Last year, were you there?
Yes, I was there. I think I got there late, but I was there. Yeah.
The stormtroopers and everything?
I didn't see that. I missed that part.
Oh, my gosh.
What was that like? What were the Eisners like?
The Eisners are just really long. So, like, last year they had all the Stars of the Spirit, I guess, got kind of strong-armed into presenting. So we had, like, the guy who plays the Spirit, who nobody knew. And then you had, like, Samuel L. Jackson show up. And there's some really funny guys, the Reno 911 guys, Dangle, and they always present, and they're probably like the funniest thing. So, I mean, it can be really funny, but lately it's just gotten really, really long. I mean, I think it goes about 4 hours, maybe 5 hours. And it's just...
Really just to watch 4 hours with that in Southern California.
Well, last time they didn't feed us or anything. No way. It was painful.
Okay. 2 years ago was really good. That was the first year that Dangle and that other guy showed up. Oh, Brian Posehn presented that year. Neil Gaiman was up there presenting with some comedian, and they were really funny. Eric Powell and his buddy did a presentation that was awesome.
Yeah,
they went up there as like alter egos, and one of them had like the Eisner E shaved in his chest hair.
That was really
instead of giving away like an Eisner trophy, they had like a wrestling style belt. Like it was the Eisner thing, and they put it around the guy that won. I don't even remember who it was that won, but it was awesome.
Wow. The funniest thing that happened last year was the Reno 911 guys. They Paul Pope was.
That was 2 years ago.
Was that? No, Paul Pope. No, I think that was last year because he was presenting. You're right, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But anyways, funniest joke they had was that Paul Pope had gotten up there, and he was presenting, and he had like this just a vest on. You know, because he's kind of a fashion kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a rock star.
They were like, if anyone is missing a shirt, they have it in the back for you. It was just so funny. It was just crazy.
Well, I think we're at 9 o'clock, so I don't know if we're going to get cut off or not. But any last things to throw in there, you guys?
If you're coming to San Diego Comic-Con, table P10 in small press, pop by. I mean, you'll be able to find Rob and Andy from the crowds, but hey, Chris might need it. We might need to go ahead and throw that number out.
We might need a little number help. I don't know that people would take notes from the dollar bin and fly out.
I'm pretty sure, Andy, isn't where they're going to be, isn't it right near one of the entrances? Like, you come right in the door, and that's where you got to walk, like, through the small press area, pretty much?
No, by the bathroom.
Which side are they
on? I'm not kidding.
You
I'm not trying to be PR
by the bathroom.
Yeah, so they're not set up over there where the Bat and Lash guy is and where Pitzer was that one year? That's not
you know what? I don't know. I thought they'd be by, like, where Debbie Huey is set up with Bumper Boy and all those things. You know what I mean? Mm, like,
okay,
that back part.
I don't know what technically is called the small press.
It looks like we're sort of, like, in the middle-ish area, kind of middle and over to the right a little bit on the map that I've seen. So I think we're near the restrooms.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. And that's actually the only part we see is between the show and the restrooms. I mean, it's a high traffic area, so.
Oh yeah.
Just be sure to get them on their way back.
There's not a bad place in the whole convention center, honestly.
No, there's no real dead zones. So. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I think it's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward, and especially with you guys there. It's just that's the best thing about it is being able to share it with somebody.
Yeah, because usually it's just me and Andy, and it's like, how many times can you hang out with Andy at a convention?
Oh, no, God, one's enough, I guess.
I mean, one night with Rob, and you're done. You know?
You're out. You're ruined.
Right.
Ruined.
Ruined for everybody else.
All right. Well.
Hey, thank you guys.
Yeah. Well, so that's my final advice to the masses.
Sweet. Well, thank you guys for your time. I know you guys are busy crunching to get ready, so. Hopefully some people will stop by and see you guys. And we'll talk to you maybe.
Wonderful.
Maybe we'll talk to you guys when you get back.
I'll make it worth your while. Are you
listening?
Wink.
I'll be accepting left coast huggles, too.
Left coast huggles.
Hey, Chris, hug you. If you even say the word dollar bin to him,
right.
Man will come out from behind the table and hug you like you've never been hugged before.
I want to see some West Coast moon rising.
Oh wow, yeah.
Chris, if we need to get some.
You'll definitely get to see that for sure.
Yeah.
I got to come pick up my boxes from your booth. So. just leave them on the floor.
Oh lordy,
moon rising. It's not a con till you see some J. Chris coin slot. Oh boy.
Maybe
All right. Maybe
we'll get some recap with you guys when you get back in a week or so. And
see
how things went.
Yeah, that sounds great. Hopefully everybody will make it, you know, and we'll just have to be nice so until after the recap.
I'm gonna die. Thanks, Adam.
Hey, thank you guys.
Well, y'all. Yeah, thanks,
yeah,
Adam.
Take care, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Sean. Bye, Sean. Do you need us to bring you back anything from San Diego?
Oh, no. I think I'm good. I appreciate that, though.
No comics? You don't need any comics?
I think I've got enough.
You sure? You don't hardly ever get to see any comics, do you?
No. You know, I know. It's weird.
I'm considering. I'm thinking about wanting one of those exclusive Michael Jackson tribute books.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're getting close to, you know, selling out of those things, maybe you set one aside for me?
I will see what I will put one aside for you. How about that?
Or just print another one when you get home.
Right.
Or just fire up the old app.
They're exclusive to the Comic-Con, dude.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Unless they sell really well, then you'll be able to find them at stores near you.
I think the heat's already died down on all that. I don't know how good the Michael Jackson tribute
is. They still keep showing his hair on fire video. So they're trying
again,
to drag it
and
out.
Again and again.
Some of that in there.
I can only imagine the people in California have just not gotten enough of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, man. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye-bye.